You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm a frustrated Niners fan. I'm sure you're worse, but
I'm a nihilist Raider fan at this point. Like I guess they're my team. I don't know if I like them, but like here's a funny side story. Last year when they traded Khalil Mack, I was like, I'm out, and I'm adopting the Steelers because Antonio is my favorite player.
Oh shit! We're back.
Yeah, we are back. I've been rolling, by the way.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, that's and then I thought you had Le'Veon, but that would have been perfect.
Well, let's transition this. Light Years Podcast. Yeah, the Warriors won against the reigning champion Houston Rockets.
The reigning three-time NBA champion, Houston Rockets. I think we had the same thought. I'm very excited about this podcast because I feel like we had the same thought watching the first quarter.
Did we speak it into existence?
It's just you can see it coming from a mile away, right? I don't know if we predicted or anything like that, but you can kind of just. Do you think the Warriors feel that way? I feel like the Warriors players feel like, hey, it's not KD's fault, but it's like we're gonna play how we used to play tonight, and it's going to be exciting.
Oh, I think it felt like a weight was lifted off their shoulders. And I think they needed that edge more than anything. Houston was talking some trash. They knew they didn't have KD. It brought that 2015 energy out of them. That's like,
yeah,
I mean, You say they should have it every night, but like I don't know how you can possibly get it unless you're Michael Jordan, who makes up stories. Did you read the most recent one? Like I don't know if this stuff's real or fake. Jordan was telling all his teammates he's gonna get like LaPhonso Ellis back because he dropped 37 on him last time they played. Turns out he didn't drop 37; he just made that up. So you have like extra motivation to just go out there and just destroy the dude.
There's always, I think MJ and Kobe have by far the best stories, and you just never know if they're real or fake. That's part of the mystique. I think with LeBron, he's trying to do the same thing. It's fantastic, but the Warriors kind of don't see that, and I think that they're just everybody's confident, right? Like you're saying, MJ, Kobe, a lot of these guys are confident. I think the Warriors are just like arrogant. We've talked about this a million times, but they're just arrogant to the point where it's like they really truly don't care if they lose because they just know they're better, or like they think they're better. Tonight was different. It felt like they still knew they were better, but they came in and said, hey, we're gonna prove it. And Steph before the game said like, hey, this is a chance to make a statement, right? And then the Rockets had all this stuff to say, like Austin Rivers and all these guys, Clint Capella.
Yeah, I think that's the part that got them. It was, Sheed pointed it out on the timeline. Harden's never the one who's talking. It's always Kenneth Faried. It's always Austin Rivers or like Eric Gordon or like, dude, you know? And maybe, I mean, other fan bases definitely are like, why is Draymond talking? But Draymond's an all-star. Draymond's proven it. Like, this would be like if Kayvon Looney. Actually, no, Looney was awesome.
Sean Livingston, maybe. Like maybe Jordan someone Bell. Like Quinn
Jordan
Cook.
Bell. Jordan Bell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know that, but I do think they needed that organic reason to get up.
Like, and a real reason, right? Like a real motivation kind of thing. I did enjoy the actual play on the court. I did enjoy Steph actually having the ball. These are not things that we've never talked about, right? But it's just, it is truly impossible to feed Klay, Steph, Cousins, and KD. And when you have those four players, like, don't you feel that Steph is always going to be one that's going to take the backseat? So it hurts him. And tonight, at least in the first half, Steph was great. He struggled a bit in the second. But it's just better for the offense overall. It's not about Steph's numbers. It's about the way the team is playing. And yeah,
his numbers
flow a lot better.
His numbers were pedestrian tonight. Like, mm-hmm. If anything, the off-ball role has led to bigger scoring purges. But it's been a lot of – I mean, he's been playing a shooting guard role, which is like – I mean, he can do that, but he doesn't have the same effect. Like, Houston was – what's made Houston successful against the Warriors is they don't double. They just switch. And midway in the game, they were doubling Steph and trapping. And we know what happens. When they start doubling, he dumps it to Draymond. You get the 4-on-3, and it's, you know, it's over.
Yeah, it's the usual. I think it's what – it's – and. That's the stuff that we've seen in 2015 a million times. And then you get the Looney or the Iguodala, like alley-oop coming up over the top, or you have Draymond swinging it to Klay right in the corner or on the wing, and or Harrison Barnes, God forbid. But that type of style is better than, and I was mentioning it to you earlier, it's better than walk it up the court set offense. They're going. Draymond didn't play well. I think you'd agree with me. He wasn't great by any means.
But he was good on defense, but his offense was
it was pretty, yeah, the turnovers and all. But here's what I'm just happy that they're running.
Yeah. Right?
And you don't want to run into two
games. Particularly against Houston. I think people give the isolation scoring and the defense too much credit, whereas what Houston really does well is just turn the pace of the game into what the Warriors don't want to play at, which is like that kind of herky jerky,
yep,
dribble it down, and like no one can get a rhythm. And the Warriors are all about rhythm.
Yeah, and KD, when he plays, he's down to play that herky jerky isolation style.
And that, like, by the way, is why he's great for the Warriors, because when they get bogged into that and they can't get out of it, he's like the counterpunch.
Yeah, he's the you cannot lose. Like, yeah. You literally cannot lose because you can go both ways. The issue is they're going too far one way, right? I think after – it's funny. After the Draymond incident in L.A., you notice him in transition. Every time he gets the ball, he's throwing it back to KD. He's throwing it back to KD, and then they're walking the ball up. And it's like – first of all, it minimizes possessions. All of a sudden, you have less ways to shoot on the court. And then the other part is
– and minimizing, like, possessions will always help the team with less talent.
Always, 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 always. Yep.
That's like, that's why you see upsets in college basketball all the time. Less possessions. You can – like, does anyone think if you played, you know, 200 possessions, Duke isn't going to beat everyone with Zion? Yeah. But, like, you know, you play a herky-jerky game, they'll lose.
And the Warriors seem to be doing more of that. And the other thing is you have Cousins, which is kind of a good segue here to talk about Cousins tonight because he looked amazing. With Cousins, you kind of want to keep doing that, right? You're even more inclined to play slower because you want to let him run up the court, post it up, et cetera.
Set up. But yeah,
it looks – he was great tonight. He's kind of the reason they won. And outside of Klay, but like he was – I mean, just – dude, P.J. Tucker's not guarding him. And he's going right through Capella and – he was not terrible in pick and roll.
So you can even go through the lineup data. When the Warriors have that starting five unit with all the all-stars, it's kind of diminishing returns because no one finds a rhythm.
Yep.
But yep. when you find lineup combos where it's like Boogie, Klay, and, you know, Goons, it works. Or if it's like Steph and KD and some role players, it works. So it's like it's mostly an issue of like they truly do have the only one ball problem with the starting five.
Yep. They finally reached it. And tonight it was like in 2016-17 with just Steph and Clay scoring, they can fit one more guy easy. They can fit KD and it was seamless. Yeah, because, they went 16-1.
Because Clay is not a guy who wants the ball.
Yep.
Clay just wants to move off ball and take his shots.
Can you imagine if James Harden and Chris Paul had a third guy, right? Like, can you imagine that? It wouldn't work. Can you imagine them having four guys? Even harder, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. and actually, I want to bring this back to your point on Steph. I mean, Steph didn't lead the team in scoring, in assists, or, well, those are really the only two categories that we would assume he'd lead the team in. But he was still kind of his fingerprints were all over the game.
That's peak Steph. This is why he's underrated, right? This is why, like, people are like, well, like, he's not a real point guard, right? Or he can't play defense, which he played decent defense tonight, right? I didn't see him, like, he wasn't egregious. That Harden flop highlight was funny. And then he makes the game a lot easier for everyone, right? That's the one that people cannot quantify outside of plus minus, and nobody really cares about plus minus. Even though he went 8 for 20, it's hard for people to understand looking at the box score, like you said, that he's making such a huge impact. Like, that is peak Steph Curry. It's just that during the MVP years, he also backed that up with averaging like 30 points a game. So,
yeah. So let's get into the game a little bit, a little deeper on that. They started Iguodala, which was surprising to me. That's when you know Kerr's.
Oh, like, yeah. Right.
That's Kerr's like, dude, we're done messing around. We got to, you know, he's going to put the adult out there and like we're going to get into our stuff. And all watching, so Andre didn't have a great stat line, but he had a quintessential Andre game where he was like at the heart of everything good they did because he's the most overqualified glue guy of all time. it reminded me, it's like, dude, one day when he leaves, they're just never going to find a replacement for him. Like, where are they ever going to come up with a dude who can do everything he can and is cool doing it? Like, it just isn't going to ever exist again.
Yeah, that, like for example, I think in that late second quarter where they were, like, well, they ended up being tied at halftime, where they were up two, sorry, and then, but they had a play where they were up, like, four, and they were struggling. I think Houston was on like a 9-0 run, and he takes the ball and he gets the ball in the right baseline there and just pulls up for a three and makes it. It's like he's not a 3-point shooter. Like, you don't really expect him to make it, but in those moments you do. Like, if that makes sense, right? Like, you expect him to make that big play, even though like he's not a, you know, 38-40% free throw 3-point shooter, but you expect him to do it just because he's Andre Iguodala. Like, he just makes all those plays. By the way, he does look weird with a bald head now, though. By the way, like, that's...
I'm just not used to it. I'll never weird. Be used to it. I think that's his, like, his playoff haircut. Like, it's time to get serious.
I mean, like, Clay growing a beard out? Like, come on, dude. Like, that's not you. Like, just a lot of very weird, odd... Anyway, for back to the game itself, it felt like it kind of starts with Steve Kerr all the time. If we go way, way, way back to the Bucks game, remember that in the beginning of the season when Steve Kerr messed around and started, like, who did he start? You remember that? Like, Kevon Looney. He started like two bigs, remember? And it kind of screwed up the game. And the Warriors were just in a bad place to start. And from there, it went downhill. This was one of the games where Steve Kerr is like, all right, I'm going to play it like we're trying to win. And the players gave him like 100%. So it's kind of like a two-way street kind of thing, right? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is KD didn't play tonight. And I just don't know how to quantify that. So I mentioned, I tweeted this out before the game, but our friend Matt Moore put up an interesting stat, and he goes, Warriors this season are averaging 7.6 ISO possessions a game. So not very many. That's in the bottom five of the NBA. Versus the Rockets, they're averaging 16.
Hmm.
So I kind of theorized, I was like, it's mostly KD ISOing switches, which Kerr's repeatedly said he's okay with. I'm curious what the numbers look like without KD tonight. And just a hedge, because, you know, any KD conversation, you have to hedge before people like run with it. Like, you're ungrateful, he's on the Warriors, you know, that sort of thing. You know, they're not better without KD, But Houston does bait them into their worst tendencies, which is like let KD go one-on-one and everyone stand around. And we didn't see that too much tonight.
So what do you – so I guess my question would be what would be the – how what would be the best way for them to play? Let's say they meet in the Western Conference Finals again, right? What would be the best way to play? Because now you have to integrate Cousins and KD, and you're taking shots away from Steph.
Yeah, that's the tough one. I don't know. Like the best way for them to play is staggering those three as much as possible.
It's a great answer. Yeah.
But then the second thing is, I mean, they know how to play with KD to play to their max. They did it in 16-17, and they do it time to time. And it just involves him kind of trusting his teammates, as corny as that sounds, and just kind of like pass and cut because he's going to get the ball back. It's when they go to, and like Steph can do this time to time too. He's done it recently where he kind of hunts his shot versus just like trusting, you know,
yep, pass he's been and hunting. Cut. Yep. Yep. You're right. He's been hunting. You can tell. Here's my thing. I think it's on Steve Kerr. I think the players are who they are, right? KD's who he is. Steph is who he is. He needs to play a certain way to be the greatest that he is. KD, same way. He likes to play slower. Cousins is who he is. Draymond is who he is. It's up to Steve Kerr. Like, he can't be who he is. And I think for me, it's just play 7-8 guys. Just play 7 guys. And just keep Steph in longer. Keep KD in longer. Don't play fucking Quinn Cook in the playoffs. Don't even play Sean Livingston. Right? Like,
he's got to play Livingston.
I mean, I know, but I'm saying
they literally just don't have enough wing bodies. I mean,
but I'm just saying play guys longer because they can handle more minutes. They can get in a better rhythm. Like, play Steph for 18, 19 minutes a half. He doesn't do that unless you have to. And I almost feel like he should just start by doing that. Like, just forget the 10-man rotation, man. Forget that stuff. And just let these guys play. Like, let Steph and KD play the whole first and then let him play 8 minutes in the second quarter. Like, I feel like he should just start every game like that rather than, like, kind of waiting until it's, like, they're down. It's, like, a 2-2 series to do that. You know what I mean? Just kind of let these guys cook because at this point, it's you got to just let them play. I mean, there's really no other way for me to say it. And I just worst thing it is, I don't want to see Damian Lee in a playoff series. And something tells me I'm going to see Alphonso McKinney, Sam. Like, I'm going to see Alphonso McKinney fouling Chris Paul 3 times in a row. Somebody tells me I'm going to see that.
Did anyone start hotter and just completely fall off? Like, I mean, I knew he wasn't that good in the beginning of the season because, like, you just don't find guys who are that productive off the waiver wire like that with, like, no NBA experience. But, man, it's gone in the other direction pretty hard.
Yeah, I feel bad for him because, like, a lot of it in role player is, like, confidence, and you can tell he's pretty shook. Games are getting bigger too, you know. Like, the games are getting bigger, so he's getting a little more like, oh shit. It's like, it's funny because you can see Nick Young. Like, he was supposed to be a guy that was like, okay, like, I'm gonna have confidence no matter what, and even he struggled. So it's like, I guess it's kind of hard playing on the Warriors, even though you're playing around a lot of great players. I guess it's kind of stressful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why most contenders end up with all vet benches, and then inevitably they get too old because the margin, like, when you're playing with that many great players, like, it's hard. You just don't get the opportunity to play through your mistakes. They need the reliable, maybe lower upside, but just like less downside guy. They need the Shane Battier more than they need the Pat McCaw.
Oh boy, Shane Battier would be. Can you imagine Shane? Not even prime Shane Battier. Can you imagine
37-year-old Battier?
Oh man!
But I mean, that's like what we're talking about, and that's kind of how it always goes on title teams. You can take it before the Heat, like the Lakers, the Spurs. They're always older, and like they're like 8th through 10th man were always like 35-year-olds who, like, you know, they knew they weren't going to play more than 15 minutes ever. But it's like if you had to throw them in a game because it was tight and someone's in foul trouble, you knew you could rely on them to not make mistakes more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're describing Iguodala again, but yeah. People think of basketball in a way that's just like so black and white. The Warriors have so many players that are just fun to watch too. There was a sequence, and this happens every time the Warriors play the Rockets. But you, like, you've got Chris Paul, and he's just running into people, right? And he gets 4 points out of it. He gets four points out of four free throws. But there's just it's terrible to watch. He just runs into McKinney twice, and then you got Steph Curry on the other side who runs a crossover, then jump stops, then lays it up right above Austin Rivers, who's been acting like he can guard those two guys, Steph and Clay. And it's just like, that's also 2 points. So two free throws and 2 points are the same thing, but it's like, it's so much more fun to watch the Warriors. They're just playing basketball in a way that's like, I feel like it's just meant to be played, instead of like baiting people and like trying to run into someone's off arm and then drawing a foul. Like, how don't you get annoyed? Like, it just,
yeah,
I can't even talk. All right, everyone, we got an announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes three things: 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. You can get all that for just $3 shipped right to your door. No more cheap razors. It's worth trying Harry's. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. The founders of Harry's were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and over-designed, so they actually bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Imagine thinking of that. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All the blades come with 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Or will Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? Or can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, a multiple bracket guy. That's the worst kind of person.
Horrible.
just three brackets for no reason with all different winners. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. So if you do want to do 10 brackets with different winners, use all that. Use MyBookie. Do whatever you want. And the best part is they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. Deposit with MyBookie today. Promo code BLUEWIRE, 50% sign up bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Promo code BLUEWIRE. So we got to transition to the real MVP of tonight's game.
Uh-oh.
Kevon Looney. 5 offensive rebounds. Looney.
You really like Looney.
I do. I love Looney. And he's especially good against the Rockets. Like, I don't know. How much do you think Looney gets in the offseason? It's not that much, honestly. Like, I just don't see the team who's like, I gotta have Looney.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're exactly like they're not paying like even the mid level. You think like
probably
even
less.
Like $5 to $8 million. You think even like you think he'd
I think
even get
I
that?
Think five's kind of the, you know, I could see seven, but like what I'm thinking is like $2 to $11 million, something like that. You know, like $5.5 million a year, something like that's what he's gonna get. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he like explodes another way, but. But against the Rockets, and especially against Harden, is there a better player at switching onto Harden?
They would literally pay him the full mid-level for him just to guard Harden every single season, and it'd be worth it.
Especially in the first half where he shades him perfectly to the left.
Does
not foul. And like he's immune to Harden's like kind of Harden wants to put you asleep. Like Jordan Bell is just Jordan Bell is the peak example of the guy you would think is good switching, and he's like not good switching on Harden, right? Because Harden's just like, all right, I'm just gonna head fake you twice. I'm going to the line, and it doesn't work with Looney
against every other team in the NBA. I want Jordan Bell.
Right.
I just would rather have. I'm a Jordan Bell apologist, but against the Houston Rockets, Kevon Looney, he's long. That's the thing. He's long, and he doesn't want to move. Like, he doesn't want to jump because he knows he's not going to get blocks. Like, he's one of those players that's like, he's smart enough and self-aware enough to know that he's not going to block anything. So why bother? Like, the worst part is when you have someone that, like, can't jump, is small, and then he goes up and he's just trying to block every single shot. Like, I watched JaVale McGee, right? And these
JaVale's a perfect example, actually. JaVale's a guy who you're like, you should be better on defense. Like, you're not lazy. You have all the physical tools and you engage, but, like, for whatever reason, like, you bite on the first move every time.
Yeah, and he's just really juiced to run into the wrong places on defense.
Right.
He's, like, really energetic, and then he's also everywhere, but he's absolutely nowhere. So
you'll go against, like, a mediocre team, and he'll have three blocks and a steal and, like, turn the energy of a game, but then against a better team, it's like, oh, what's going on?
I can't believe Kevon Looney is the guy for James Harden. That is pretty ridiculous. James Harden had a game 2-for-12 from three, which was kind of what he did a lot in the Western Conference Finals. I think he had maybe one or two great games. But outside of that, this was kind of the performance that he's throwing out against the Warriors really all the time. Because do you think that the Warriors are more scared of Chris Paul than James Harden? Like, are they more worried about Chris Paul, you would think, from a coaching perspective? I don't know. Harden's definitely better. But they certainly...
I just think the Warriors are very... and it's not just Looney. He's just kind of the most pronounced because it's coming from, you know, a non-star player. Like, he makes himself a vital piece in the series, whereas in most series, you're just like, he's just a guy in the rotation, right? But, like, Klay doesn't bite. Iguodala doesn't bite. Draymond doesn't bite. I mean, that's why they're a great defense when they lock in, but they're patient on Harden in ways that other teams aren't. And I feel like they've played him so much that, like, even Steph these days doesn't bite or anything, where it's like they've played him so many times. I don't want to say they know his moves, but, like, they just know the rhythm in which they need to play defensively against him.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I think most teams, when they play Steph, they kind of think the same way. They're like, hey, like, we know all the off-ball stuff you run. And then so you hear a lot of the fans and you hear people like us are like, dude, like, let's just put him on the ball and just let him go, right? Make it a 4-on-3, because everybody knows in the playoffs that you're running, like, an elevator, or you're running, like, you know, a scissor play, or they know what Steph is going to do.
Some sort of floppy action with Klay that they run every day.
And now it's like the pass to Steph, and he passes back, and then he's relocating in the corner. Like, teams aren't guarding that well yet, but, they'll get there.
I knew the Warriors were feeling it when they ran the relocation for Iguodala, and he hit it. I'm like, are you kidding? That was the only shot he hit, by the way, all night. But when they did the, he passed, and then he relocated like Steph, I'm like, oh, God, and it went in.
That's funny how we talked about the same play, because yeah. I talked about that earlier, too. That is what it was, now that I think about it, yeah, it was.
So anything else to talk about in this game? Like,
this is a great game to talk about just because we're going to talk about Houston so much, I think, dude, in the next couple months. I want to talk about Cousins. Let's talk about Cousins before we go to the mailbag.
Okay.
Because 27, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I think the most important aspect of this is 11-for-16. And he played 32 minutes. And I don't remember any, like, super egregious moments where I was like, damn, like, this 2-minute stretch is kind of like, Cousins can't play, right, in a playoff series. And here's the thing. I don't think Houston's hiding anything. I don't think they're hiding.
Oh, like, see, I think they were. They didn't hunt him at all. And I don't know what that was about. Maybe if I rewatch it, I'll see the Warriors kind of communicating so they don't have to get Boogie switched.
Because that's what I would think. Because that's what Draymond would be doing on the back end. Like, he'd just be like, I'll take the guy up top so that you won't ever have to switch up top. Like, he does that with Steph too. But I mean, you're right. I mean, if they wanted to hunt Cousins, they could. They should. Right? Maybe they just decided not to do much of that. in the I, but it just doesn't seem like a D'Antoni thing to me. That's all. That it was just one of those things where it's like maybe Cousins could play if Draymond is there to cover up and able to communicate, because he's going to be the one that has to do it, right? Because he's the talker. Because Iguodala is kind of doing his thing. Klay doesn't talk much. He just guards his guy. And Steph's kind of all over the place. So I think it is up to Draymond. And I think if it's a playoff series, he's going to be the one that has to tell Cousins what to do. Or cover up for him, I should say.
Yeah. We kind of got – so I made a joke that this is the Warriors 2019-20 starting lineup, which opened a can of worms I was hoping not to open today. But I did that to myself, you know.
I was going to say, uh-huh, yep.
But I mean, you can see why Boogie makes so much sense with Steph and Klay, because they want to play through the post. They want to have the big man pass. They want them in motion and relocating. So I don't know. I think they have a better chance of bringing Boogie back than people think. Cause I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced those huge offers will be there for him. Maybe they will, but,
you think he'll take like $8 million or whatever? Like, what's the raise? What's the raise?
I mean, that's like, nines. They can give him the full mid level if KD leaves, which I think is the scenario in which they would be like desperately trying to keep him. And it's about nine. It just depends. Like, do you really think a huge offer is going to be there for him? Hard to say.
I guess I don't know. I guess the Lakers will throw something at him. You know, I guess if they don't get Kawhi and KD and whoever else, Jimmy Kyrie, Butler, even Kyrie, right?
Kemba, yeah, God, Kemba.
Yeah.
Just listen all the K's. Klay.
Klay. Forgot Klay. Yeah, we got to kind of sit down and think about who the teams are that can offer him something. But you would, man, I guess you'd have to think there'd be some type of team that throw like $20 million at him. Just, you know, and he's kind of, I think, at an age. Because the more I think about it, he's kind of at an age where it's like he kind of can't waste another season making just $8 million. Just $8 million, right? Quote, unquote.
Yeah.
But he does want to get – if I were him, you know, 28, 29, whatever he is, it's like, dude, I better get my $20 million now because I'm definitely not going to get that, you know, a
particularly
year
off an Achilles. Like, it's very easy to think, you know, I have more time. He's already had the bad injury where it's like, you know, you start thinking my time's limited.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he has crazy endorsements. He's a Puma guy, right? Puma, whatever it is. Like, so it's not like he's making $30 million off the court like Steph and KD and stuff like that. So I don't know, but it would be interesting.
So we're answering. Chano asked the question: if KD walks, we re-sign Boogie. Who says no? And yeah, I think we came to the same.
Look at that segue.
I think we came to the same conclusion, which is, I mean, if he'll take it, yeah, but. The only other way to re-sign him, if KD walks for more money, involves letting go of Iguodala or Draymond, which at which case you're just talking about a completely different team, right?
I guess Steph, Klay, and Cousins is probably better than Steph, Klay, Draymond, Iguodala. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really want to go there. So let's get into some more questions.
We'll get there when they get there. I have a fun one, a really fun one, at Pickup Hoop. If the Warriors have to go through Utah, OKC, Houston, and then whoever comes out the West, would that be the hardest path thus far?
Whoever comes out the East.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the East.
I think so. I don't think Utah's particularly a big problem. But for a first-round series, they'll make them try harder than they would if it was the Spurs, you know? OKC and Houston would be a drag. And I don't think they've had a second round. I don't think they've had to play a second and third as grueling as that. The only thing I can think of is year one when they played Memphis in round two. But Houston round three wasn't nearly as good. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I guess I'm thinking... And because it was 2015 and 16, it was, oops, I'm speaking away from the mic. In 2015 and 16, I feel like it was more self-inflicted. A lot of it was just like they needed to get into the rhythm, and once they did, it wasn't necessarily close. 16-17, it felt like it was tougher, but that was because of Steph's injury. But that might be the toughest one, just because for me, it almost feels. And we were talking about the OKC pod. That OKC game 6 has been coming up a lot lately. I'm not really sure why. It's just been randomly popping up on podcasts and stuff like that. But I feel like that series alone was that series alone was why they lost to Cleveland. Like, yeah. If they had won that series in 5 or 6, which they was favored to do, they beat Cleveland. They just do. And so that, to me, it doesn't matter who they play this season. Because I don't think there's any team that's as good as that team. I don't know. Do you think Houston's better? Do you think Boston's better than that OKC team?
Probably not. But I do think the factor we're not discussing is the fatigue factor. The Warriors got up tonight, but, I mean, this is the fifth year of a run. Potential three-peat with KD. That's a lot of... It's just they're not the same Warriors team is all I'm saying.
Bill Simmons said they played 80 games more than any other team. Or like than a...
Yeah.
It's, I mean, this 80 puts, games.
This puts LeBron's second place streak into perspective. And he's playing a lot of extra games, right?
And he just somehow... It took this long for him to actually get injured for a couple months. So that is
miracle of modern medicine.
We are not here to praise LeBron. Let's move on. You got a question? Did you find one?
Yeah, let's go with
it's a lot.
All right, game on, Nate. Steph more than any other Warrior player or staff seems to give zero F's about trying to placate KD this season. Regularly ignores him when he calls for the ball, pulls long threes when he's pouting. Agreed. Why do you think this is?
Does he know something that we don't?
Let's get spicy.
Body language guy, huh? So I agree. I think I don't think they dislike each other. I don't think they dislike each other or anything like that. But I do think it is true where Steph is kind of like, I really don't care that much if you're mad that I'm shooting a 28 footer when I'm 1 for 6 from 3. And I think that kind of tells you all you need to know about Steph, because Steph's usually the guy that is aware of everything that's going on around him. And I think he's aware that he does not care if he doesn't get KD the ball, or if he's kind of being more, like you said, placating for KD. So I just don't think he cares. And you can read that in the other ways, man. Sam, you can read that like,
I think,
he knows KD's going to be gone, or you can read that like, hey, it's my team. But either way, I think it's good.
This is my effing house. No, I actually think it's related to the role. Steph has given up a lot of ball handling and main initiator duties, and in doing so, he's coming off of screens, and you can't have it both ways. You can't have him. You either have him on ball forcing those 4-on-3s where he's not getting the greatest shots, like tonight. He didn't lead the team in shots tonight. Or you have him coming off the ball, in which case, if he gets it in those situations, it's going up, you know? And there are possessions where it's like, you know, he looks off KD, but like, that's just kind of, he's the greatest shooter of all time. The same way we live with KD ISOing in possessions we don't love, you live with Steph taking some bad shots too. It's the same thing. And I do think it's if he's off ball, he's going to get more shots. And he's going to get more shots, a few of them you're not going to love.
Yeah, and I think maybe we do kind of give Steph too much credit. Maybe we do say he sacrifices a lot when, you know, he's always been this type of player. But that, I don't need to go too deep there. You got another one, or should I pick one?
You go.
So much. You want to go in the Wayback Machine? You want to take a throwback question here?
Sure.
JDM at JDManJD. What would the Warriors have done in free agency 2016 if KD didn't come?
Ooh, this is a fun one. Everyone seems to think they just run it back.
Ooh, you don't think so, huh?
I'm not convinced that... I think they keep Barnes, but they would have had freedom to clear a little cap space for a center. I think they would have done something because they knew Azealia was done. you can talk to anyone around the team. They knew Azeli was done, and they're, I mean, history proved him right. He never played another minute in the NBA again. Portland did sign him, but, like, his knee just, I mean, you feel for the guy, but it is what it is, right? So I don't know what they would have done, but I think they would have re-signed Barnes and found someone better than Zaza to play center. Who that is, I'm not sure.
Brook Lopez.
Maybe.
They do. Robin Lopez. No, I think you're right. Something tells me that I don't think they had. I don't think they had any magic. I don't think they had anything. I think it was KD or just run it back with the same guys. And I almost feel like,
well, what I'm saying is they would have done stuff in the margins. There wouldn't have been like, okay, we didn't get KD. We're gonna, like, you know, pull a magic hat and get like Paul George.
Yeah, or. You know, it would also have maybe given him more leverage for the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. Maybe that would have been something. But, yeah, I think they come back with the same. It's the boring answer. I think they come back with Harrison Barnes, and they do kind of – I think it all relies on Harrison Barnes, and we can kind of see that, you know, he never became that – I don't think anyone thought he was going to be a superstar, but he didn't even really become a star. So I think he kind of is always the same player he's going to be. Right, so I think that they would have banked on that, and he probably would have been the same player that he was in 2015 and 16. So I think they still get back to the finals. You know, I think they still get back to the finals. I don't know if they would have won. That LeBron Kyrie team was amazing the year after. They might have won, but because Steph was fantastic that year after he lost in the finals. So who knows? Do you have one? I have one more.
I have a post game quote. I want to read first from Boogie. When asked if he likes playing against the Rockets defense that switches and has a lot of small guys on him, I don't really care. I don't think anyone can stop me one on one. Period. You can put whoever you want on me. Honestly, just very on brand.
Hey, by the way, while we're in the process of reading quotes here, we don't even need to talk shit because these guys are fantastic. Draymond, they asked him about the stuff coming out of the Rockers locker room, like Kenneth Faried and Austin Rivers and these other guys. He said it didn't juice the Warriors up at all. He said, quote, "I'm not sure stupidity juices up anyone."
Wait, say it one more time.
He said, so they asked him, like, hey, like, what do you think about the stuff that the Rockets said? And he said, it doesn't juice me up. I'm not sure stupidity juices up anyone. that's I think Draymond's probably the best at talking shit. He's just so vicious. Like, he's smart too. The worst type of trash talker, or the best, is the people that, like, says something that's true. But, like, in a
the
way
best,
that just
the best trash
so
talker
demeaning.
Is a person who can't get hurt. So they just take it lower and lower. Like, we all have a line, you know? Like, the reason what he said to KD hurt so much is because he hit his
right.
soft spot, right? But, like, you know my soft spot. So, you know, if we, like, in a, you know, trash talking contest, you could end me on the spot, and I just get very sad and emo or something.
But and Draymond is not afraid to go there. He is not afraid to ever go there. So that's fun. I think the Warriors, that's the Warriors that you want to see, right? Like the one that talks a lot, the one that, like, is led by Draymond talking, right? They've got that type of energy. Cousins is kind of the perfect fit there. I think KD is more of the Steph Clay, mood, except he kind of branches off into the Draymond Cousins side, and it's a weird fit, which is so on brand for KD. It's so on brand that he can't figure
because
out which
everyone
side
wants
to be.
Everyone wants to be Draymond and not be affected, but it's very hard to do.
It's,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
want to be like that, but no,
it's
there's certain
point.
Things people can say to me that get me, you know, my feelings.
That is a hell of a point. Let's go, because we didn't address this. Killjoy GSW.
God.
he retweeted the Steve Kerr saying, "I'm so fucking tired of Draymond shit." And he said, "Team Draymond or Team Kerr?" We haven't discussed this yet, so I kind of wanted to bring this up.
Yeah, let's last segment here.
Yeah. What do you think? You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
I think this is the perfect example of Draymond and Steve Kerr. There are certain players on a team or family or friends, right, where you just know that they can mess with each other or they can say stuff to one another and be cool, like, a couple hours later. I think that with – like, Kerr will never say that about KD, ever. And I think with Kerr, he knows that if he says that about Draymond, he doesn't care if it gets picked up, because Draymond will probably get mad, but end of the day, doesn't care about it either. That's what I think. They may hate each other, but it's one of the things where they're absolutely mature enough to work through it, so it really doesn't matter long term. But you may think differently.
No, I mean, I thought it was nothing, because both Draymond and Kerr curse way more mid-game than, you know, the cameras show. Like, this is something that unless you're paying attention to the bench all the time in person, you don't really understand. But, like, these dudes aren't polite. It's an emotional game. And, like, I don't really think it matters at all. Like, how many times do you think Draymond's been like, that was a dumb effing idea, you know? Like, it's just kind of the nature of the relationship. And that only works if you have that kind of relationship. So yep. This is where you kill someone like Boylan in Chicago for, like, trying to do that while he has no equity. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
like the fake hard ass thing versus someone like Kerr or Pop or Phil Jackson. Not that Kerr is at any of those guys' level, but, like, he is with his guys on this team, where you build that sweat equity, where it's like he can say something to me like that, and I don't have to, like, take it as, this is, you know, this is the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great point, because Kerr has to build that, right? He can't just come in here, like you said, like Boylan, and just all of a sudden talk like that. You can't come into a locker room. Kerr came in here and he benched Iguodala, remember? And that wasn't like, Iguodala wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm down for that.
Like, and it's also, I'm okay, like, with that. 450 games later, and a lot of highs and some lows, and, like, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, you're going to take that from, it's just the nature of the relationship.
Yeah, that's just, it's like a...
I would worry, like, about it if he was saying that about Boogie, who he probably doesn't have that relationship with yet. You know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because it would just be, I bet, though, if Boogie was on the team for like 5 years, you know, they could have that relationship. Absolutely, I think so.
Of right, course.
Because it's, like, cut from the same cloth as Draymond.
If he was saying that, you know, 15 games into his coaching, you know, his tenure with Boogie, that's not...
Kerr's way too smart, too. Like, that's the thing about Steve Kerr. Like, we complain a lot about Steve Kerr. I do, certainly. But he's smart as hell. Like, he knows kind of emotionally what to say, what to do. Because, I mean, he's been around. He's been around so many players and so many coaches. So, you have anything to add? Or I'm going to close this out here with a few words.
Let's close it out, man.
All right, cool. So, yeah, waited to the end of the pod here, but I'm going to take a couple weeks off for some personal reasons. Won't get into it. But Sam's still going to be doing the podcast here. I will be back, I think, April 2nd that week. So I'll be back right in time for the postseason run. So hold it down for me, brother. I'll be back. We'll be taking a break from Light Years or Warriors World Radio as well. So for those that are still listening, we'll be back there in the beginning of April as well. So until then, I will see everyone a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, Andy saw that April 5th Warriors Cavs game and said, "I'm back. I'm here. I'm back. Bring on Colin Sexton."
Perfect.
Now take your time. We will be. I'll put a couple things up in the next couple weeks, and, you know, we'll be good to go for the playoffs. Which is when people really want to listen. Anyway.
Yep. Can't wait.